Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Wednesday, February 28th, 2019. The time is 9:07 a.m. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this morning, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Good morning.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good morning.
Senator Michicki, Senator Stevens, Senator Olson, and Senator Von Imhoff. Welcome to all. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? On today's agenda, we have three items, HB 120, Department of Law Advocacy before FERC, SB 165, Comprehensive Health Insurance Fund, and SB 15, e-cigarettes sale and possession by a minor. If I could direct your attention to HB 120. A little history. This bill was heard on Monday, February 26th. The public hearing was open and closed. No one testified. We reviewed the fiscal notes. Senator Michicki had indicated that he thought that that might be indeterminate, or should stay indeterminate. With the bill before us, I'd like to invite John Patasson to the microphone. Are there questions from committee members on House Bill 120? Seeing and hearing, Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We had asked last time if there was we had the cost for outside counsel for the last few years. We were able to get that
Through the chair, Senator Stevens. Yes. Department of Law.
Mr. Patasson, would you identify yourself for the record?
Oh, sorry. Yes. My name is John Patasson. I'm the Chief of the Regulatory Affairs Public Advocacy Section at Department of Law. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, we were able to obtain our outside counsel fees on FERC matters over the past 5 years. In 2013, it was $613,000. 2014, as the SR case was heating up a little bit, the state expended approximately $1.050 million. 2015, the case had ended. The bills went down to $39,000. 2016, $195,000 was expended on outside counsel. And in 2017, $215,000.
Senator Stevens, follow up.
Thank you. I appreciate that information, Mr. Patasson, and thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Bishop.
Yes, just for clarification for those people listening at home, SR means strategic reconfiguration on TAPS. Is that correct?
That's correct. It was through the chair, Senator Bishop. It was a large case where we were essentially looking at a large-scale project on the pipeline and seeking to get those costs taken out of rates.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Are we ready to move the bill? Senator Bishop.
Excuse me, ma'am. We've already covered the fiscal note. If it's the will of the body, I'll forego that at this time. And, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 120, version 30-GH1875/A from committee with the accompanying fiscal note and committee recommendations.
Are there objections? Seeing and hearing no objections, House Bill number 120/A moves from committee. Brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. We're still in Senate Finance. The next bill before the body is Senate Bill 165, an act relating to Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Fund and providing for an effective date. This bill was heard yesterday, 2/27/2018. The public hearing was opened and closed. There was no public testimony. The fiscal note was reviewed. I did have a question on the fiscal note, and that was in regards to the $60 million that was talked about being diverted to the general fund. The reason the fiscal note doesn't reflect that is because should we not pass the bill, the insurance premiums would be redirected to the permanent, or I'm sorry, to the general fund already. So that's why it's not in the fiscal note. My follow-up question to my staff was then, where's the $322 million that's coming in from the federal government? So I will continue to work with the department on this to accurately reflect for the public why we're making this move, but we did not receive any indication of any amendments to come. If you recall, we said the amendments would close tonight. Staff has checked with this body, and we were prepared to move the bill. Ms. Hartman, did you have any closing comments for the committee's consideration before we see if we're ready to move the bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Brittany Hartman, staff to Senator McKinnon, and I do not have any comments, but I can summarize the bill if you'd like.
Certainly, for the people at home.
What Senate Bill 165 does is it extends the sunset of the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Fund for an additional 6 years from June 30th, 2018 to June 30th, 2024. And the reason for the extension is to continue to stabilize the individual health care market in Alaska and to be in compliance with the federal award with a 1332 waiver.
Thank you, Ms. Hartman. Director Winghire, would you like to put anything on the record?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Lori Winghire. I'm the Director of the Division of Insurance for the State of Alaska, and all I could add is my sincere thanks for the support we've received from this body and the House of Representatives on having this bill passed. This has meant a great deal to many Alaskans, and we sincerely support the effort, and I know it wasn't an easy decision in 16, and I hope that this waiver has provided the additional funding to continue the program.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've already covered the fiscal notes. So with that being said, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 165, version 30, LS1320/D from committee with the accompanying fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, Senate Bill 165/D, an act relating to the Alaska Comprehensive Health Insurance Fund and providing for an effective date, moves from committee. Brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. The next item before Senate Finance is Senate Bill number 15. It's an act relating to the possession of electronic smoking products or a product containing nicotine by a minor and selling or giving products containing nicotine or an electronic monitoring product. Senator Stevens, this is your bill. It is before the committee. Do you have comments for us?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your hearing the bill. What the bill is about is protecting our children, our youth, from becoming addicted to nicotine and from adopting unhealthy habits. You've had a chance to look through the information. You'll see that it's a concern across the nation. And when we talk to our students and our teachers and our administrators, we realize it's a major problem here in our state as well. Clearly about restricting sales to and possession of these products to our youth and gives our state agencies the means to enforce these restrictions. I just believe we need to act quickly to face this new industry and help protect our children who are being targeted.
Thank you. Thank you for those comments, Senator Stevens. Brief history on 216, we heard this bill. We opened the public testimony on at 9:50 a.m. or right in that time period and received multiple people testifying on this bill. I would like to reopen the public hearing on Senate Bill 15. Anyone wishing to testify on Senate Bill 15? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Senator Stevens, my understanding is you have a few amendments to propose to the body.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if I could ask ask Tim Hackman to come forward and my staffer, he can explain those.
If I could have an amendment, Senator Stevens, could you move Amendment 1?
I move Amendment number 1.
I'll object for purposes of describing the amendment. Mr. Lampkin, if you could join us at the microphone, put your name on the record, and please let us know what Amendment number 1 proposes to do.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. The amendment before you right now is, as was mentioned in our initial hearing, simple technical amendments. There were a few references in the bill that were drafting errors that were overlooked as it went through the CS process. As you'll see on the first part of this amendment, those two, 1176-109A3 and A4, it simply points to the wrong section. So it's a conforming amendment. I can explain that in detail if you wish. Likewise, with the line 6 there, that statute does not exist. This is referring to the definition of e-cigarettes, and so that, again, points to the correct section of law.
Do committee members need a further explanation of the amendment? I'll withdraw my objections. Is there further objections to Amendment number 1? Seeing and hearing none, Amendment number 1 passes and is adopted and incorporated into the bill. Senator Stevens, Amendment number 2.
Madam Chair, I move Amendment number 2.
I'll object for purposes of understanding what Amendment number 2 proposes to do. Mr. Lampkin, could you explain Amendment number 2?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Tim Lampkin, staff, Senator Stevens. 11, this is a more substantive bill. 1176-106A is commonly known as the behind-the-counter law, where tobacco and nicotine products must be placed behind the counter and sales of those products must be under the direct supervision of a sales clerk. And in a more common example for you that we all may be familiar with, at Fred Meyer, you have to go to a specific counter to buy cigarettes and tobacco-related products and just present your ID to that sales clerk and conduct that transaction at that counter. So this law was specifically originally targeted to prevent vendors from situating these types of products in locations in their stores that could be easily accessed and would particularly draw the attention or the attraction of youth. It also, for example, say products could be placed in the snack aisle or the candy aisle or the toy section as an extreme example, but in places that would be readily available to people to come by and grab those products or be attracted to them. It also, this behind-the-counter law serves to prevent or eliminate the possibility of shoplifting of these types of products. So prior committee and Senate Judiciary, there was concern that particular section of the law would meanwhile prevent adult sales of these types of products over the Internet because there's not a person immediately supervising the sale or this transaction. And so because there was some confusion and misunderstanding of that, we went forward with removing this section from the bill at that time. Well, meanwhile, by doing so, of course, it may make it clear that adult sales can be conducted over the Internet. It also, meanwhile, allows stores to then put these cigarettes back out in the aisles where they may not be appropriately placed. So this bill, or this amendment, rather, would restore that language. And meanwhile, at the bottom of the amendment, we have made an effort because, again, there are exceptions to this particular law. For example, if it's a vending machine in a bar, it doesn't have to be under the direct supervision. The transaction doesn't have to have a sales clerk, for example. So we provided for an exception at the bottom of the amendment that would allow for Internet sales to a person provided they're over 19.
Are there questions from committee members on what the amendment number 2 does? I'll withdraw my objection. Is there objection to amendment number 2? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number 2 is adopted. Senator Machicki, amendment number 3.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number 3.
I'll object for purposes of understanding the amendment. Senator Machicki.
Yeah, thank you. I've spoken to the sponsor on this, and of course he can speak for himself. I believe he's still in support of the changes, but I thought so for the first penalty being $1,000, I thought was a little strong. I mean, frankly, people can make a first mistake. I thought $500, which had been in place, it was $300 before. This is increases it to $5, so it is an increase, but it leaves room for a mistake, which can happen. Sometimes they hire someone new that makes a mistake on not getting adequate ID or something. So I thought we would reduce it. I didn't change the other numbers, but on page 7, line 25, I also thought indefinitely was essentially the end of a business, particularly a vape business if it was indefinite. 1 year is likely very difficult to survive from. But this allows that it's a one-year loss of the license for a fourth and future offense. So if there's a fifth one, what's three or more? So it's a fourth or fifth. It's another year of the loss of a license. One could probably argue that vaping is better than traditional tobacco on one's health, simply because you're not burning the plant matter. Vape shops are more likely to be closed forever with a one-year closure. So I think if someone gets to this point, 1 year is adequate.
Questions or comments from committee members? Senator Stevens, could you speak?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, this is perfectly acceptable to me. Actually, I think it makes a good idea even better, and perfectly happy with this amendment.
I'll withdraw my objection to amendment number 3. Is there further objection on amendment number 3? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number 3 is adopted. I'd like to invite Julie Lucky to the microphone. Ms. Lucky, we have a new style of fiscal note.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. I know this will be a little bit of inside baseball, and so I appreciate the committee's indulgence in presenting the first statement of zero fiscal impact that you will see in your packets today for Senate Bill 15. We have been working together with our counterparts in the executive branch and legislative finance to have a more efficient way to deal with the zero fiscal notes that come through. As the bill came to our committee, we had 4 fiscal notes. 3 of them were zeros, and that has been consolidated into this statement of zero fiscal impact that you see today. Our hope is that the statement of zero fiscal impact will make it easier for members of the public and committee members to easily see at a glance all of those departments that are affected by a bill but do not incur any fiscal impact. And I would like to proudly state that this replaces six sheets of paper that came to our committee with this one sheet of paper, and hopefully makes the zero impacts a little bit easier to see, and it makes it a lot easier for committee members and the public to then concentrate their efforts on any fiscal notes that have a fiscal impact. You will notice that the bill did have one fiscal note that had a fiscal impact, and I will go over that for the committee now, unless you would prefer to have department staff go over it.
Please continue.
So the one fiscal impact note is from the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development for corporations, business, and professional licensing. The allocation is corporations, business, and professional licensing, OMB component number 2360. You'll see the fiscal impact in the first year, fiscal year 19, of $5,600. And if you turn to page 2 of the analysis, I will read briefly. This legislation requires changes to warning signage, and the department must make available to a person who holds a business license endorsement. It also requires a change to the CBPL database, warning signs, forms, online filing, websites, investigations, and a regulation change. The committee substitute changes the required notice from two separate signs to one combined sign and changes the required minimum dimensions of those signs. If the bill passes, the following expenses will be incurred. Services, $3,000 in legal costs to amend regulations, printing, and postage in the first year, $1,000 for IT services for the system change, and $1,600 for printing and postage to mail new signage. There's also a note that there will be legal and hearing service expenses in out years, but the costs are unknown, and, of course, the disclaimer that these are covered by receipt-supported services, DGF, fund code number 1005.
Are there questions on the fiscal note? Thank you, Ms. Luckey. Is the committee ready to move the bill? Senator Bishop.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 15, version 30-LS0170/9 from committee as amended with the accompanying fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for Senate Bill 15, 30-LS0170/N moves from committee as amended with individual committee recommendations and new fiscal notes. We'll brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Seeing and hearing none, tomorrow, Thursday, March 1st, 2018, here in the Senate Finance Room 532, we'll be taking up three bills, SB 104, Education Curriculum, SB 92, Vessel Registration Titles, SB 128, Marijuana Education Treatment Fund. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. I do want to publicly notice that I am willing to reopen the public hearing on SB 104 because it is going to have an amendment on education, Senator Von Imhoff, education.
Individual education plan, an IEP.
Thank you very much, IEP. And so I do want to provide the public an opportunity to comment on that. So again, if you're interested in education curriculum, I do plan to open that public hearing again on that bill. With that, we're adjourned.